don't you worry about a thing. Jesus Christ is still the King.
Welcome to The Uncommon Good with Bo Bonner and Dr. Bud Maher on Iowa Catholic Radio. Every Wednesday, diving deep in the truth of the Catholic Church and restoring all things in Christ. The Uncommon Good, live from the Mercy Live Up Studio.
The Uncommon Good is on the air. I'm Bo Bonner.
And I'm Dr. Bud Maher.
We are coming to you live from the Mercy Live Up Studio, where we have the Mercy Live Up webcam. Hi, webcam people. Sorry we're not better looking. Also, coming to your eardrums, where we are much more pleasant to deal with, 1150 AM, 88.5 FM, 94.5 FM, streaming to you live on the Iowa Catholic Radio app, for whom we have Blessman Ministries and the People's Abstract Company to thank. Bud, Thanksgiving week, and you're back. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay, but what's the one dish that you have to have this time of year that you can't go without?
A full one. Hey-oh! Yeah, I'm not going to have, like, or the second. How about the second dish, bud? Yeah, no, very thankful for our listeners that we have, the opportunity to come to you live every week, like I said, from the Mercy Live Up Studio. But, bud, you were we were talking about being thankful and what that means, and I thought you had a great quote to share with everybody today.
Yeah, I found this from G.K. Chesterton, one of my favorite authors. He wrote, "I would maintain that thanks is the highest form of thought, and that gratitude is happiness doubled by wonder." So I thought that was a nice little pithy message for this week.
So as you're going off in your turkey-induced coma, just try to remember what G.K. Chesterton's saying. You're not being lazy. You're showing the highest form of thought by being thankful for what people made you. We, of course, are brought to you every week by Mercy College of Health Sciences, where Bud and I have the great pleasure to work. They underwrite our program. And Bud, if people are not necessarily looking to maybe to do one of our nursing degrees or one of the other allied health degrees that we currently have, we have a new stream of degrees that they can look into: health information management, healthcare administration, and public health.
Yeah, what's cool, we're rolling these out, and you could study something like nursing or whatever it happens to be at the school, and then do, say, for instance, health information management as a minor. So you can actually embed that coursework into your nursing degree and kind of have that dual, you know, capacity to offer to potential employers.
So Bud and I, of course, we talk about this all the time. We teach the servant leadership class, and then I joke around that even though I teach at a health science college, I'm the last person you want for healthcare advice, is by clear anybody watching on the webcam. But even health information, healthcare administration, or public health, you do not want to take advice from me or Bud probably on any of these. I don't know the last time I've washed my hands. No, I'm kidding. That's not true.
Well, G.K. Chesterton, you know, was a very holy man, I think, and he was portly, so I don't think the two are mutually exclusive.
And I don't think he had a public health degree, but you can at Mercy College of Health Sciences. But who are we, what do we have on tap for people today?
So I'm particularly excited about today's show because we're going to be interviewing a professor of theology, Dr. Kenneth Parker. And Ken directed my dissertation. I wrote my dissertation on the theology of Blessed John Henry Newman. Ken is presently the executive director at the National Institute for Newman Studies, but he's got a dual appointment, so he's a professor of theology at St. Louis University, home of the St. Louis Cardinals. Well,
yep.
The school is not.
Right,
yeah,
right.
They're close.
They're close.
In proximity.
Well, so we actually have a recording for everybody. We did this a few weeks ago, but I think in God's good providence, we waited to talk about this until the last week of the Year of Mercy, where particularly Dr. Parker's going to talk about not how hard it was to help Bud out, but actually a prison ministry that he's a part of.
Yeah, so Ken helped a college and prison program get off the ground at Bonterra Penitentiary in Missouri. So I guess you could say maybe his work with prisoners helped prep him for, you know, dealing with me. But no, he's done some really exciting work helping to bring education to those who are behind bars. And, you know, it's an extension for him of his commitment to following Jesus Christ. So he's going to talk a lot about how he got that ministry off the ground and what he's doing there, you know, teaching theology at in a prison ministry.
You're not going to want to miss it, folks. Stay with us. In a minute, we'll come back with Dr. Kenneth Parker talking about this wonderful mystery. We'll see you soon. The Uncommon Good.
Thank you, People's Abstract Company, for your support of Iowa Catholic Radio. Locally owned, statewide abstract and People's Abstract Company provide abstracting and title services in all 99 counties in Iowa. People's Abstract is your Polk County preferred abstractor. Both statewide and People's are able to provide all of your abstracting and title servicing needs within the state of Iowa. 515-244-6119 or online at thetitleresourcenetwork.com. That's thetitleresourcenetwork.com. Thank you, Modus Engineering, for underwriting this message by Iowans for Life, Iowa's Catholic pro-life organization that follows the teachings of the Church. By the words of Pope Francis, every child who is condemned unjustly to being aborted bears the face of Jesus Christ, who even before he was born and then just after birth experienced the world's rejection. And every elderly person, even if he is ill or at the end of his days, bears the face of Christ. They cannot be discarded, as the culture of waste suggests.
Welcome back to The Uncommon Good. I'm Bo Bonner with Bud Maher here at the Mercy Live Up Studio, coming to you live at 88.5 FM, 94.5 FM, 1150 AM, and streaming live on the Iowa Catholic Radio app. We have a very special guest with us today, someone very special in the heart of our own Bud Maher. Bud, you want to introduce him?
Yeah, I'm particularly excited about our guest today. We have with us Dr. Ken Parker, who is the Executive Director of the National Institute for Newman Studies. He's also Stieber Professor of Theology at St. Louis University, and he holds a special place in my heart because he directed my doctoral dissertation. So Ken is my Dr. Vater, as we say in academia, and we have to keep the conversation focused today because he probably has some stories that are incriminating.
That's right. I made sure to promise to Bud that we wouldn't dig too deep into the dirt. So, Dr. Parker, it's great to have you on air with us.
It's very good to be with you.
So thank you for joining us all the way in St. Louis, especially, you know, after all the you know, as Cardinals fans, all the sadness and all. We live in the midst of Cubs fans now, and they're all bragging. So, you know, we got to console each other, but, you know, thanks for coming on the air.
Oh, understood. Understood.
So as you all know from listening to our show, The Uncommon Good, we've been walking through Catholic social teaching and talking about our lives as Catholics and living in the world. Today we're addressing the topic of ministry to those who are in prison. So we have Ken on today. He, during his time at St. Louis University, he was inspired to help establish a college and prison program at a maximum security prison in Bon Terre, Missouri. Ken, could you tell our listeners some about what the program entails, its founding and mission?
Sure. Just very briefly, it was an idea that came to me really out of a sense that a higher education program in a prison fit the Catholic Jesuit mission of St. Louis University. And it was one of those things that seemed to be confirmed as I moved forward with doors opening that shouldn't have opened. And so from the time that I had the idea in April of 2007, to the time that I found myself in a prison classroom in January of 2008, just 8 months, remarkable, some would say miraculous, getting through the bureaucracy, both of the university and a Department of Corrections. But currently, the program has an Associate of Arts degree program for both prison staff as well as incarcerated men. There are special workshops, and there's an emerging project around reentry that's also been a part of and grown out of that work in prison.
Well, Dr. Parker, I think a very potent metaphor that you used about opening doors that shouldn't have been when it comes to the bureaucracy might be a wonderful way to talk about the goal in having college classes in prison. So if you want to do that, what about this idea that education opens doors that shouldn't be open, especially in places, maybe the last place we would think about it, for instance, prison?
Absolutely. Well, I think one of the great tragedies of recent American history has been the hyper-incarceration of American citizens. And so part of the context that we have to be aware of is the fact that over the last 40 years, we have seen our prison population grow by over tenfold. In the state of Missouri alone, the current director of the Department of Corrections began his career when Missouri had 3,000 prisoners and 7,000 people on probation and parole. Currently, Missouri has over 31,000 prisoners and over 75,000 people on probation or parole. That gives you an understanding of a national crisis. The United States has 2.3 million people in prison. That means that one in every 100 adult Americans is behind bars. If you look at it globally, the United States makes up only 5% of the world's population, but we have 25% of the world's prison population. So we have a crisis on our hands, and the only way that we're going to resolve it is by not responding to incarceration with a retributive attitude, but one that really emphasizes rehabilitation and reform. And key to that is education.
Ken, I know some of the backstory of, again, this is The Uncommon Good with Bo Bonner and Dr. Bud Maher, and we're talking to Ken Parker this morning, who started St. Louis University's College and Prison Program. Ken, I know as one of your students, some of the background and what brought you into this program. Could you talk some about, last week's show, we mentioned the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew 25, where our Lord says, when we visit prisoners, we actually encounter him. Could you talk about how your vision and your inspiration was connected to your understanding of the gospel and living out your faith?
Absolutely. Well, I quickly began to realize that this work in prison was actually having a very profound and important impact on me as a theologian. My training is in historical theology, and I've not really thought of myself. I've thought of myself often as more of a historian than a theologian. But it was the lived experience of encountering men in an incarcerated setting, men who were desperate for affirmation of their humanity, an awareness that there were people outside the prison fences who cared about them. And it's very hard for me to talk about this without becoming emotional, because I quickly began to realize that I was looking forward to going to prison because I knew that being in the presence of my students brought me into the presence of Christ. That reality has never left me, and it's one that has been a real confirmation of the truth that's in that gospel passage. So being present to the prisoner, which is often the neglected one of that series of injunctions to feed the hungry, to care hungry and thirsty, to care for the sick, to be present to the stranger. Prisoners are often left off that list, and yet, especially in our context today, here in the United States, that awareness of the impact and the power of our opportunity to encounter our Lord when we come into the presence of and are present to the prisoner in an incarcerated setting is a very powerful one for me.
Dr. Parker, this is definitely powerful stuff, and I appreciate you talking about something that matters so deeply to you, and obviously, even though we're not here in the studio with you, that deeply moves you still. One of the things I read from you that really struck me is you talked about the intellectual starvation that occurs in prisons. Yeah. And as someone who you know, really loves reading his Plato and Socrates, this idea about intellectual starvation, and you know, I think a lot of professors complain about, like, oh, if only we had students who were just, you know, eager and willing, they'd eat this stuff up. And you said that's what you got to go live, is go see in prisons. But what I think is interesting is, if intellectual starvation is what we're facing, we can talk about the very good stats about recuperating people, like getting out in the world and being more equipped and all these things that college degrees do. But if intellectual starvation is what we're up against, wouldn't you say that even if someone was a lifer, they're going to be in prison for the rest of their life, it still is a mercy to have that person get education of the degree that you're doing?
Well, I would make that argument that among those who are incarcerated, it's those who are in prison with no possibility of parole who need to be formed and to be intellectually challenged. I can point to one of my students in particular who was part of our initial pilot program, a certificate in theological studies. His name is Chris Simmons. Chris's case was is a striking one because he was sentenced to death as an adolescent for a horrific murder that he committed. Chris's case went through the courts. He ended up in the Supreme Court having his case overturned as one, and it was his case that ended the death penalty for those who committed their crime as adolescents. But Chris was one of those extraordinary examples of someone who was profoundly changed by his education in the SLU college and prison program. One of my colleagues called Chris a mystic, and I think he was right about that. The thing that's so important to understand is that with the proper formation and transformation that can come from an education, people like Chris are going to be there to mentor young, wayward men for decades. And so their transformed lives, with a small investment in education, can reap huge social rewards for all of us, because they can be beacons in a very bleak society for what can happen when you open your mind, when you reform your understanding of who you are in the world and how you can make a positive contribution in the world around you.
Ken, in conversations with you, thank you for that. One thing that struck me was you said sometimes the students in prison put us graduate students at SLU to shame, just in terms of their hunger to know. And you would talk about, you know, coming in the classroom and having students who had read the text 3, maybe 4 times. But there was a phrase that you used when you're talking about Chris, where you said reforming his understanding of himself. And I'm curious, I hope I'm not springing a question on you here, but when you talked about the certificate in theological studies, what was it like to read scripture in prison with prisoners? I know so much of the New Testament is in that context, so I'm sure when St. Paul talks about being in chains, there must have been something that resonated with the prisoners when they read scripture together.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And in fact, I've got a great story about that. I over the course of the first cohort working on their Associate of Arts degree, we had two students who got swept up in an investigation over a misuse of a computer in the chaplain's office. All 8 employees, including our 2 students, were put in solitary confinement while this was happening. These are 2 very devout men, men of deep spirituality. But it was also during the semester that they were studying the epistles of St. Paul. And so after that month was over, I was down with a special speaker and was surprised to see them. I didn't know that they'd gotten out of solitary. And I was expecting to see two rather harrowed, distressed men, and they were both beaming. They were just radiant. And I walked up to them and I said, I said, well, what? How did it go? And they said, well, there's nothing like studying St. Paul while you're in solitary.
There you go.
And you know, they'd been getting their homework through one of our staff students who was a supervisor in that same solitary unit for solitary confinement. So that gives you some idea of how the fact that we were present not only to prisoners but also to the staff changed the nature of the interaction between our students and our staff students.
This is The Uncommon Good with Bo Bonner and Bud Maher. We're speaking with Dr. Ken Parker about his wonderful ministry in prison with college degrees. Dr. Parker, we have just a few more questions left in our time together. So I'm an Okie. We grew up listening about prison reform because Johnny Cash talked about it a lot. And then we also had relatives in prison, but we won't get into that. One of the things that I think is interesting about what you've said all along is that prison reform often gets shackled in political discussions, but what you're talking about seems to be just the question of what does it mean to be a human that no amount of steel and bars can take away from people.
Correct. And the thing that Bud has alluded to the fact several times that our students were hands down, you know, no insult to Bud or any of my PhD students, but hands down, they were the most dedicated and committed students that I'd ever taught, and a lot of that had to do with the fact that they felt like they had a precious few hours in their week when they felt human. I mean, they talked about that, especially in the first semester of our presence at the prison. They would talk about the fact that the 3 hours in class every week were the 3 hours that they felt human. And a lot of that had to do with the fact that my attitude and the attitude of colleagues who followed me into the prison was, you know, you're not prisoners. You're not offenders, which is the official title of men and women in Missouri prisons. Here you're students, and you walk into my classroom with no judgment attached to you. You're here to learn. And it's that experience of learning that offered a kind of challenge to them to excel and to grasp the importance of their own humanity. And what I found over the years is that very quickly students who embraced the experience of learning found that it didn't really matter where they were. They were living big lives. They were thinking elevated thoughts. They had more important things to do than the trash talk in the yard. They were becoming something else. And in a Jesuit context, that means becoming men and women for others.
Mm-hmm. Well, Ken, thank you again so much for being with us here this morning. I could tell it was an interesting conversation to me because our time together has flown by. But thank you again, and thank you for your work reaching out to prisoners and those behind bars.
Yeah, Dr. Parker, it's been a pleasure. If people want to do anything to help support you or look further into it, is there any thing that they can go look on online or anything like that?
If you want to know more about the St. Louis University Prison Program, just Google it, and you'll find a website and directions for how to learn more about the project and its impact.
Well, Dr. Parker, we thank you so much. Thank you again for being with us.
My pleasure.
Stick with us, friends. We'll be back in a minute. So stick around for more of The Uncommon Good with Bo Bonner and Bud Maher.
Support for programming of Catholic Women Now partially provided by Farm Bureau agent Cindy Schulte. Cindy Schulte on the web at cindyschulte.com, 515-226-2111. Cindy and her team know health insurance.
Thank you, People's Abstract Company, for your support of Iowa Catholic Radio. Locally owned, statewide abstract and People's Abstract Company provide abstracting and title services in all 99 counties in Iowa. People's Abstract is your Polk County preferred abstractor. Both statewide and People's are able to provide all of your abstracting and title servicing needs within the state of Iowa. 515-244-6119 or online at thetitleresourcenetwork.com. That's thetitleresourcenetwork.com.
Thank you, Learning RX, for underwriting Catholic Women Now, heard Thursdays at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. on Iowa Catholic Radio.
Learning RX, 515-224-4819, online at learningrx.com.
And now, great moments in church history. The year, 1224. The place, Assisi. Claire of Assisi and the Order of Poor Ladies square off against the armies of Frederick II. The Order of Poor Ladies enter the contest as massive underdogs. Everyone's expecting this to be a blowout.
Things don't look good for the Order of Poor Ladies, Kent. They've got Claire as their leader, but they just can't match the strength of Frederick's armies in the trenches.
Just minutes before the game, word gets out that Claire has fallen ill. Now the odds appear insurmountable.
Oh, wow! This has gone from bad to worse, Jim. The Order of Poor Ladies were already huge underdogs, but now their team captain and emotional leader is hobbled. Things could get ugly today.
Early in the first half, Frederick and his army jumped out to a commanding lead. With Frederick's soldiers scaling the walls, Claire digs deep into the playbook.
These humble nuns look overwhelmed, Kent. We might be able to call it... Hold on! Claire's commanding that the Blessed Sacrament be brought to the gate of the convent. She's setting the sacrament up, so that it's in full sight of the opposition.
Prostrating herself before the Blessed Sacrament, Claire humbly begged God to deliver her order out of the hands of the marauding force, asking the Lord for victory in these most unlikely of circumstances.
This is astounding, Jim! Claire's clearly not 100%, but she's adoring the Blessed Sacrament and pleading with God for victory. The invading army has been seized with terror. They're fleeing the city! There are no flags on the field! It's a miracle!
Claire's heroics that day would go down as one of the most courageous moments in church history. Today, the poor Claires continue the legacy of their foundress by ministering to poor and forgotten souls around the world. In 1872, St. Clair's relics were transferred to a newly constructed shrine in the crypt of the Basilica of St. Clair, where her relics can still be venerated today. This has been another great moment in church history.
Yeah, but a lot of people, you know, that there are no flags on the field, it's a miracle. They think that goes back to a game in 2000, the Music City Miracle, Tennessee Titans, but who knew? 13th century.
Yeah. Our buddy Thunder, who lives in Tennessee, he needs to listen to the show and, you know,
he's a huge Titans fan, so that was kind of a shout-out to him, but we're... Thunder, that was for you.
Well, folks, that's going to end it for our show today. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for giving us the opportunity. But we hope that the Thanksgiving holiday allows you an opportunity to be thankful as well. But any last words?
No, have a blessed Thanksgiving. Safe travels. St. Christopher, pray for us as we travel this week.
Wonderful way to end it all. May the peace of the Prince of Peace reign in your hearts, in our families, in our cities, and on the road as we all travel for Thanksgiving. God bless everybody.
The Uncommon Good with Bo Bonner and Dr. Bud Maher is heard Wednesdays at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. on Iowa Catholic Radio and on the official Iowa Catholic Radio app.